But there weren't many opportunities for deals this big on Lalonde. She simply had to leave. That goal never changed. The money from the deal would be a hefty slice towards the 18,000 fusadollars she needed for a basic set of neural mnemonics. Joshua would probably pay her an overall bonus as well. He was honest enough. Which brought her to the real question of the day, whether or not she was going to go to bed with him. He had certainly asked her often enough over the last 4 days. He was handsome, if a trifle gaunt, with a good-looking body, and he must be talented after all the girls he'd been with. An owner-captain under 25 years old, it would surely run into hundreds, especially with that grin. He must practice it. So sexy. She rather liked the notion of what they'd be capable of doing to each other if they flung off every inhibition. There had been rumours back at the Arcology about the prowess of people geneered for spaceflight, something to do with enhanced flexibility. And if she did, which she probably would, he might just take her with him when he left. It really wasn't a possibility she could afford to ignore. After Norfolk, he said he was planning on returning to Tranquility. That habitat was premier real estate, superior even to Earth and Kulu. I've already whored my way down the river. Whoring to Tranquility would hardly be a hardship after that. The crash dumper's door creaked open. A young man in a blue and red checked shirt and long khaki shorts walked in and sat down at the other end of the bar. He never even glanced at Marie, which was odd. She was wearing her sawn-off jeans and a dark orange singlet, long limbs on show. His face looked familiar, early 20s, ruggedly attractive, with a neatly trimmed beard. His clothes were new and clean, made locally. Was he one of Durringham's new generation of merchants? She'd met a lot of them since she got the job at the embassy, and they were always keen to talk while they waited for Ralph Hilch, her boss. She pouted slightly. There, if she had neural mnemonics, she'd have no trouble placing the name. "Beer, please," he told the barkeeper. The voice fixed him. It just took a moment for her incredulity to die down. No wonder she hadn't recognized him to start with. She went over to him. "Quinn Dexter, what the bloody hell are you doing here?" He turned slowly, blinking at her uncertainly in the pub's filtered light. She held back on a laugh because it was obvious he didn't recognize her either. His fingers clicked and he smiled. "Marie Skibble, glad to see you made it to the big city. Everybody wondered if you would. They didn't stop talking about you for a month." "Yeah, well." She sat on a stool next to him as he paid for his beer from a thick wad of Lalonde francs. That wasn't right. Ibits didn't have hard cash. She waited until the barkeeper went away, then dropped her voice. "Quinn, don't tell people who you are. They're killing Ibits in this town right now. It's pretty nasty." "No problem. I'm not an Ibit anymore. I bought myself out of my work time contract." "Bought yourself out?" Marie had never known you could do that. "Sure," he winked. "Everything on this planet is financially orientated." "Ah, right. How did you buy it? Don't tell me dear old Aberdale started being successful." "No, not a chance. It never changed. I found some gold in the river."
"Gold?"
"Yes, a nugget you wouldn't believe." He held up his hand, making a fist. "This big, Marie, and that's the honest truth. So I kept going back. There was nothing ever as big as that first one, but I built up quite a little hoard. They thought it must have washed down from the mountains on the other side of the savannah. Remember them?"
"God, don't remind me. I don't want to remember anything about that village."
"Can't say I blame you. First thing I did was get out. Sailed straight down the Julif on a trader boat. Took me a week, and I got ripped off by the captain, but here I am, arrived today."
"Yeah, I got ripped off, too."
Marie studied her glass of bright lime.
"So what's happening upriver, Quinn? Have the Ibits really taken over the Qualheim counties?"
"It was all news to me when we docked this morning. There was nothing like that in the offing when I left. Maybe they're fighting over the gold. Whoever owns the motherlode is going to be seriously rich."
They've sent a load of sheriffs and deputies up there, armed to the teeth.
Oh, dear, that doesn't sound good. Guess I'm lucky I got out when I did.